WFAN, KM to AM, as we proceed to give you what you need. 888-808-1019. We started, obviously, talking about the Yankees, and then somehow we got into Daniel Jones and the Giants. But I do want to go back to something here before we get to your Giants calls. Verbatim, I told you what John Sterling had to say in this New York Post Sports podcast with John Heyman. Connor was nice enough to get the audio for us. And I'd rather let you hear the great John Sterling in his own words. Can we play that, Connor?
At the beginning, the two people, one in the news, one in the Post, were killing me every day. And the program director of WABC was a guy named John Minnelli. And John Minnelli was one of those guys, I'm sure you've met him, who didn't know anything about team sports. I mean, if you said, you know, this is a basketball, well, wait a minute, you're going to. And he said to me, you ought to call both those guys and thank them. The only thing people remember is your name. They don't remember anything else. So, you know, you take it and move right along. Now, I'm very tough internally. You can't get me. If I saw those two people, I wouldn't talk to them. There was a gal at MSG. Her name was Kara. And my wife was ready to give birth to triplets. Can you imagine? The voice of the Yankees, and he's having triplets. You know, yeah, it's a good yarn, a good story, a good... So this gal, Kara, called up both guys and said, you know, if you'd like to use this, you know, John and his wife, Jennifer, are going to have triplets, blah, blah, blah. And they said, no way. They wouldn't use it. So that's kind of telling you how they felt. And forget about, you know, they're doing their job, but that's how they feel inside. And you know what? Hasn't bothered me at all.
He's the best, yo. Like, just hands down. He's a GOAT, an icon, 101, understands he has his critics, haters, detractors. And all these years, he's taken it in stride. And, man, I'm just so happy for John to have decided to hang it up on his own terms. And he's still popping up. He popped up at Boomer and Geo Live. And he's doing podcasts. Shout out to John Heyman and Joel Sherman. That is the show podcast. I've said this before. They have one of the best baseball podcasts, period. It's the show, a New York Post baseball podcast with Joel Sherman and John Heyman, and the latest episode is John Sterling talks broadcasting career and retirement. It's 51 minutes. I'll probably listen to the whole thing later tonight or tomorrow. Let's get back to your calls at 888-808-1019. Robin Merrick, call me back. I understand you had to wait a little while. We had to go to the break and the update. I want to hear what you have to say. Rob and Merrick, when you're done doing whatever you're doing tonight, I'll be on till 12. Call me back. Stu is in Point Pleasant Beach. What's up, Stu? You're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, my man, my dude. How you doing, sir? What's going on?
You know, hanging out, talking the talk, watching the Met game, trying to get some people on the phone, on the line.
That's it. I just want to talk Yankees and then go slide into a little Giants. So, Keith, you know who I am. And, you know, the Yankees, like you said, Sterling, what a class act, brother. That voice, it is high. You know, it's just like you hear it and there's nothing like it, man. And the magical ride this year with the Yankees, that Judge shot, and then the Stanton. Did you watch that game back-to-back?
I haven't missed a game, of course. I've seen all of these games.
Hit in center field. I mean, can you put it? I mean, even Stanton had to outdo Judge, right? So it's fun to watch, man.
Yeah, we're lucky.
Sliding into the Giants, what's up with those uniforms, bro? You see they're opening up with those?
Yeah, the Century Red. Go big red, not big blue, big red, baby. Going back, hashtag Giants 100, something like that. They're going back in time. Whenever you go back in time and you try to put tan pants on the modern day players, it's not going to look right. And now they're doing these rugby style jerseys with the Wolverine helmets. They better be good. They better be good, because if you're getting beat 40-0 in those jerseys, it's not going to look good at all.
Oh, dude, 100%. You know, and it's funny. So, you know, you listen to the listeners, and, you know, I'm a season ticket holder, and, you know, to have Jones there again, they got to stand him up, right? You have to have an offensive guard. I mean, I played linebacker. I ripped my ACL. That ACL tear to come back after that, it's tough, man. You called it. You're good, dude. You're not going to be out there probably the first or second game. And if he is, it's going to take a while for him to build confidence, and everybody's got to be patient. Hey, if they can stand him up upright and he can throw some darts, maybe the Giants make a playoff run. I mean, that's the biggest thing you look for.
I hope he is ready. But I did the math on Kyler Murray, and I forget who else I did the math on how long it took them to come back from the date of their surgery to the time that they returned. And everybody's different. Everybody's body is different. But I'm like, I don't know if he's going to be ready. They're saying he's going to be ready for training camp. But right now, he's not ready for one-on-one drills. So in 30 days, he's going to be ready for contact? He's going to be ready to...
I doubt it, man.
And even so, Stu, like, is he going to be effective? I don't know, man. I played football.
They probably haven't listened. They're going to go safe. They're going to put him with the brace. You know,
injuries make a coward out of all of us. If you are a little bit, like, just hobbled or not 100%, you're not the same player out there.
Nah, man. He's got one. He's got a show. I mean, you know, look at Saquon Barkley. You know, he had that great year after that operation. That next year, it was like, a quarterback's a whole different position, man. You're leading that ship. So, you know, all the Giant fans, let's hold our breath and, you know, make a run. Yeah, I know you're a Cowboy fan, Keith, but, you know.
Yeah, but I hate the Cowboys as much as Giants fans do, you know, so I'm just speaking as a football fan.
Right, 100%, man. Yeah, man. Always a pleasure, sir. Listen, I'll let you run with your show. You're the best. I hope you're doing good with your hernia operation. I had an appendix, man. It's tough, man. It's like somebody's grabbing at you, you know?
Oh, man. You get cut open, and you got to heal, and every time you move, it's just not great. Thanks for the call, Stu. I coughed before. I was like, oh. I got a 5-inch incision in my, like, groin, lower abdomen area, you know, right above my man parts. And, you know, talking about football in my open, talking about how football made me, I couldn't wait to start lifting weights as a freshman in high school because I was a scrawny kid and I wanted to play varsity so bad. I was about 155 playing freshman football. But I knew once I was like 16, my mom said it was cool that I could lift. And Ocean Township weight room was open certain hours. And even when it wasn't open, sorry, Mr. Conti, I'm riding my bike there. And I knew how to, you know, jingle the lock and get in and lift weights. And, you know, very young, you learn about squatting, deadlifting, benching, power cleaning. Those are football lifts, Olympic lifts, heavy lifts that get you ready for contact and for football. You know, fast forward some 20 years, here I am still going into the gym and putting 4 plates on the bar, and I don't have access to a squat rack all the time, but when I do, I get overzealous, and I'm like trying to turn back the clock, and, you know, a couple weeks ago, I got down with that 225, and I felt something pop when I got all the way down, and I was able to come back up, but I knew something wasn't right, and next thing you know, I'm swelling down there, and I'm like, oh, this isn't good. And then one day I woke up, and I couldn't even walk right, and I'm like, I got to go to the doctor. Shout out to my doctor, Mo. Appreciate you, bro, if you're listening. He's like, yo, we got to get you fixed, like, right away. Mo's a big-time WFAN fan. Whenever I go to my primary care physician, this guy can tell you everything about WFAN history, you know, obviously when I came in to now. And, you know, he got me taken care of. Shout out to Dr. Phillip over at Hoboken University Medical Center. Monday morning, I went in. They put me under the anesthesia, cut me open, repaired. And I've been healing all week, but I've been trying to nap. I've been eating nothing but Advil and Tylenol and just champing it out. But I'm done. Nobody's trying to tackle me anymore. I don't need to squat. I don't need to do heavy lifts. I want to be jacked. You know what I'm saying? It's the summertime. I want to be ripped. I want to have a nice look, a nice body. I want to wear a t-shirt and tank in the summer and be boy dad, no dad bod. But I took it a little too far, and God humbled me and slowed me down. But I did not want that to be an excuse for missing work, because can't miss these opportunities, man. Can't miss a 5-hour show on a Thursday in June when the Yankees are rolling like this. Let's get back to the phone. Mike is in Palm Coast, Florida. Mike, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, how you doing?
All right, thanks for calling.
I switched off the speaker, like you told me last time.
Good man.
Yeah, it's hard for me to hold the phone long, so I waited. I just wanted to tell you, you know, you're one of the only guys I listened to all the way, the whole show.
I appreciate it.
You're just a pleasant guy to talk to. That's your best attribute.
I strive to be. I hope to be somebody you want to listen to and call.
That's why you're really pleasant to speak with and listen to. Yeah, my Yankee issue, some lifelong Yankee fans, 58 years. I think the beginning of 24, obviously, they were under pressure to make the changes, and they did with hopes of being really good this year. But everything was really based upon 25, because we all know about the expiring contracts for all the players, one-year deals, and, of course, the hope to sign Soto. But they are better than I think they even expected this year. And I think they're going to be – they're not going to trade or even diminish guys like Stanton and Rizzo, the two – veterans of the team, mm-hmm. you know, that are at the end of their rope. Yeah, they have guys. You mentioned that the other guy that called mentioned Rice, and they have another guy, Augustin Ramirez, also a first baseman and a catcher.
Balling out. It.
They, right, we all know about Dominguez. Dominguez is the only one. I think they're going to bring him up, and they're going to tell Stanton, listen, we're giving you 2 days off a week at DH. We got to get Dominguez in there. They're going to tell Verdugo, we're going to give you off 2 days a week. We got to get Dominguez in there. So that's 4 days for Dominguez, and then he'll play a day for Soto here and there, a day for Judge here and there, and we'll get our Dominguez.
Yeah, there are ways to make this work, and if the Martian is down there hitting a home run every couple days, you're not going to leave that bat in Triple-A.
He's the only one. We're not going to see these other guys.
Yeah, no Spencer Jones. You mentioned
Spencer
Ben
Jones
Rice.
Is the only trade bait. He's the trade bait. I think if they do make a move for like a closer or a pitcher with like St. Louis or another team, he's the big trade bait guy. They're going to use him and whatever other guys they could do to maybe get a top closer or reliever or whatever, because Holmes, he's proven enough. He's a great reliever, but he's a setup man. He's not a closer. So I think that's what they're going to do, and we're going to see Dominguez soon. I'd say this month sometime. And, you know, Stanton, if you're going to trade him, this is the best opportunity.
He's got a no-trade clause. His contract is so heavy, there's no way
that
they're
going to. Right, he's got three teams. Right. Yeah. He's got, it's either the Cubs, the Dodgers. He's already on the Yankees. Yeah, there's one other team out there.
He's not. Thanks for the call, Mike. Sorry, just got to move it along as these Giants fans are coming in. Giancarlo Stanton is such a huge part of this clubhouse and this team. This is year 7G. Year 7 of Giancarlo Stanton being a Yankee. Brian Cashman said how he wants the best players here, how he wants the Yankees to be the mecca of baseball. And, you know, like Stanton is one of the best players in the last decade. This guy has won an MVP. This guy's on his way to hitting 500 bombs. We've had the conversation about is he or isn't he going to be a Hall of Famer. We'll have that conversation again down the road. But what I'm saying is, like, this is a guy that took on the challenge of changing his physique, getting in better shape, understanding how important he is to this team, being healthy, and he's been healthy this year, and they've rested him this year, and he's doing great. He's hitting the ball out of the park. That's what we want him to do. I don't know what he's on pace for, but I know we were talking about, can Stanton give us 25 home runs? Hell yeah, he can give us 25 home runs this year. Now we're looking like, can he give us 35 home runs this year? He's not going anywhere. That contract's not going anywhere. They're trying to get these guys to the World Series. That's another thing Cashman said. That it would be a tragedy if you have all of these talented players here and not get them to the World Series. There is a window here. It is closing. These guys are getting up there in age. Anthony Rizzo, who will be 35. Giancarlo, I believe, is 34. Judge just turned 32. Cole is like 33. LeMahieu is 34. They understand Father Time is undefeated. They're not going to just bench these guys. But they are going to rest them and platoon them and have some help for them. They're going to get there. Charlie's in Queens on the fan. Go for it, Charlie.
Hello. One second. I'm sorry. Yeah, Keith. Mm-hmm. First of all, I take it as easy. I'm an older guy. I'm 60 now. Going to be 60 soon.
Okay.
So a loss is a loss. We won 4 in a row. As a Yankee fan, you know, they are also, the Royals are not going to be a pushover team now. So taking 3 or 4 from them at their house is a good thing.
Awesome. Sure. They were no hit. They fought back. They had the lead. They blew it in the ninth. I'm not mad about it. Like, even when the Yankees lose games, I was kind of mad Friday night. and a little bit Saturday, obviously being in the house. But I wasn't that mad at them losing this game. They took the series. They took the first three games.
Also, I bought more dog signs.
Good. Keep bringing them to the bleachers, bro. The one you gave me is in here. I keep it in my WFAN locker.
And I sent it to your, I think it's either your TikTok or something, where I asked you who your favorite non-Yankee is.
Yeah, I got a few.
Okay, mine is Tom Seaver.
I saw your comment, yeah.
And yeah, because of being the Yankee announcer, and just he's a great player.
Yeah, did you hear C-Mac's show late last night after me with the conversation about Tom Seaver and his 300th win and, you know, fans cheering him in Yankee Stadium? Did you hear any of that? Did you catch it? You probably were sleeping.
No, I work overnight, so yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I thought that was a good one.
No, I respect that. I mean, I wouldn't, like I said, Tom Seaver I would give an applause to, but Pedro Martinez, no.
No, hell no. Like,
because he broke our, you know what.
Nah, who's your daddy? Owned. And we owned him twice with the Phillies and with the Red Sox. Stu, Charles, you're the man. Thanks for the call. I'll see you in the bleachers. Just moving this along. Stu was a call before, and Charlie is a creature. He's a 203 guy. Last night late, they were talking about Paul Skeens on C-Mac's show, and they were talking about how the St. Louis Cardinals fans, they got some interesting fans out there. I want to go to Busch Stadium one day. They applaud everyone. They're just nice Missouri folks out there, I guess. But, you know, he had a no-no going against them. And when he came out, they applauded him. I guess when they, you know, I don't know. I saw that and I can't get jiggy with that. I text Chris last night. I'm like, we would have laughed him off the mound. Yankee fans would have been like, thought you had us. Like today, you know, Yankee fans out there in Kauffman Stadium applauding. Yeah, got to him. No hitter. Soto breaks it up. But then we were talking about, you know, they were talking about Tom Seaver, and I heard Fleegs and C-Mac get to it. I'm like, man, back then, those were Mets fans in Yankee Stadium applauding him. It's not like it, you know, it's been in the last 10, 15, 20 years, but that's for another time. We got these Daniel Jones calls. I really do want to get to the Giants conversation. Jay is up in Harlem. Jay, you're on the Fan.
Hey, how you doing, kid? How you feeling?
Good.
Honestly, I just wanted to say that Daniel Jones is a good quarterback. Honestly, he hasn't had an offensive line the whole time he's been there. He still made the playoffs with no weapons. His whole career he's been here, he finally has a wide receiver. This is the best wide receiver he's ever had. I just don't understand why you would ever say Drew Lock is going to start. Like, barring injury, of course. But
no, I'm saying that Drew Lock is going to start because Daniel Jones will be hurt at some point or not ready to go at some point. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying Drew Lock is better than Daniel Jones.
Oh, okay, it's an injury. Then we cool, then. I got no.
Yeah,
I got
yeah. Not saying Drew Lock is beating him out. Thanks for the call. And I'm putting respect. Man, I've defended Daniel Jones. Going into this last season, I was campaigning for Daniel Jones because this guy has gone through so much. I was at Yankee Stadium when they showed him on the big screen with his girl. And you Giants fans that are Yankee fans booed his ass. Like, I told the story last night. I was at the Ainsworth the night of the draft. And I'm around all Giants fans. And when they announced that number 6 overall pick, the whole bar was moaning and groaning. This guy had to come in, and David Gettleman was in full bloom love. He had to replace Eli and be the Eli clone. That's tough to do. A guy that won 2 rings here, a Manning, you got to come in and be him. And he had different head coaches, different offensive coordinators, no offensive line, no receivers to throw to. He's throwing a David Sills and Richie James. And Jay just said he's got the best receiver he's ever had. We're already saying Malik Nabers is Odell Beckham Jr. Let's see him play. I know what he was in college. Let's see if that can translate to the NFL. Jalin Hyatt last year, who was arguably like one of the best receivers coming out of the SEC, what he did at Tennessee. Jalin Hyatt last year came in talking about, I'm going to be offensive player of the year. Excuse me, say what? Offensive player of the year, these wide receivers are only as good as the guy throwing them the ball. And he also just said, we got a playoff team. Pump your brakes. You might have a last place team. Ryan is in Hazlitt. My guy, you're back on the Fan.
Hey, what's up, boss? Sorry, I've been away a little bit. I'm actually playing in a men's league. And I got to tell you, you know how you're talking about your hernia?
Yeah.
But, dude, I just turned 40 last week. The recovery's just up.
Yeah, it sucks, dude. It's like the reality hitting you as you get older, that, like, you were a college baseball player. Like, you're playing in a men's league now. You play one game, and it's taking you 3 days to get back right.
We have, but including me, we have 6 ex-professional players on our team. And all the chat is always like, oh, dude, I'm sore, you know?
Yes. I don't know. Us human beings, man, Father Time is undefeated. You know, that's what I tell these young guys. Hey, get it while you're young. I'm envious of you guys with these young legs and these young bodies that can go out there and play 6 basketball games in a day, doubleheader, go through 2-a-days.
Oh, parts of your body that you didn't even know could get sore, you know? So,
yeah.
So just, the one thing that I feel like it's interesting about the sports dynamic, there's always something with baseball where people downplay the guys based upon everything else. And then in football, everybody's overhyped before the season. And everybody's like, oh, this guy could do this and this, you know? And as you said previously, it's all about health, man. You know, like even Daniel Jones, everybody else. If you have a healthy team in the NFL, it's always about depth, because as I like to say, it's like you're making a copy of a copy, because, you know, once you get to the third one, you can't read it anymore,
mm-hmm.
You know? And then you just, it's the same thing with baseball too. Just, you got to stay healthy, and let's just hope, knock on the door that, you know, all the teams stay healthy and we get at least something this year.
In New York? Yeah. That's how we get derailed. Yeah. That's how the Knicks were derailed. That's how the Jets were derailed. That's how Yankees were derailed last year. You know, Judge runs into a wall. 4 plays in, Aaron Rodgers goes down. Brunson breaks his hand. OG Anunoby can't go. They lose Mitch. You know, they lose Randall. Like, they're
but
not,
that team kept grinding, though. They had that depth. You know,
they grinded, but still, you'll never know what they could have been because they couldn't stay healthy.
Yeah. One of my best friends is a huge Jets fan. He goes, I just want Rodgers to be healthy, but I feel like that other Achilles is going to be breaking the first game. And I'm like, come on, dude.
He's 40 like yourself. You're talking about playing in a men's league, recovering at age 40. He's about to attempt to play the highest level of football for 17 weeks plus playoffs, Super Bowl. It's tough to think about. Thanks for the call, Ryan. It's tough to think that he's holding up for all of that. Tyrod Taylor, get ready to go. Keith McPherson on the Fan. We're going to talk Daniel Jones, Giants situation. Now we can talk Jets as well. Obviously, we're talking about the New York Yankees coming off of taking 3 out of 4 in Kansas City. They head to Boston. KM to AM on the Fan in New York. We'll be right back. All right, folks, here we are. There has been a run scored in the Met game. That burger, the guy that eats 1,000 burgers a year, goes yard. So in the top of the 6th here, Luis Severino gives up a solo shot. And the Marlins strike first. Jake Burger does the damage. It's 1-0. 2 outs, runner on first, top of the 6th here. And, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. The Mets can't, it's just 1 run. Make it happen, Mets. Can't lose this game. So far tonight, we've been talking about the New York Yankees. Speaking of losing games, the Yankees found a way to lose that game. They were this close to 50 wins, this close to another sweep, dominating the AL Central. But the Royals are a better team. They're a 40-win team. They made moves in the offseason, and they stood up. They decided that they weren't going to get swept at home. They clawed and scratched and fought. I mean, these guys were coming out there bunting, sliding headfirst into first base. They did not want to lose that game. They no-hit the Yankees for 6 innings, and the Yankees fought back. So we've obviously started talking about that. Somehow, I paralleled the Yankee conversation with the Giants conversation. I'm not sure how I got to Daniel Jones, maybe obviously with, you know, mini camp this week and Daniel Jones not being able to participate in 11-on-11 drills. And you're seeing clips of Malik Nabers and Jalin Hyatt and Wandale Robinson. And now it's like, wait, they might actually have the best group of receivers they've had in a long time. But is Daniel Jones going to be ready to quarterback the New York Giants in training camp late July? What version of Daniel Jones are we going to see coming off an ACL and a neck injury? We talked about, I know, Trevor Lawrence. That's how I think we got there. We talked about the money Trevor Lawrence commanded. 5 years, $275, $200 million guaranteed. $55 million a year to put him up there as the highest paid player with Joe Burrow. So I said, you know, that Daniel Jones contract at $40 million a year doesn't seem so bad. And there is an opt-out. And you obviously know there's been talk on the fan about him getting hurt and the details of that contract. Let's get back into the conversation around Daniel Jones and the Giants, the Yankees as well. Joe out in Las Vegas, my guy, you're back on the fan in New York.
Keith, how you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing great, doing great. Glad to see you recovering. So, yeah, so I kind of wanted to do like a quick deep dive, you know, into the Giants roster because, you know, honestly, if any Giants fans are listening, like, they need to take a chill pill. Like, our roster is better. I'm not saying the record's going to be better because I do believe that we probably need to have another rough year so we could get a quarterback in the draft next year. But Daniel Jones, $40 million is coming up the books after this next year. So you're going to be able to invest that $40 million into the rest of the roster the next year and then have a rookie contract for a quarterback. And Drew Lock, honestly, my only memory of him is throwing that dime versus the Eagles and beating them last year when he was on the Seahawks.
Yeah, great play.
And yeah, it was a perfect pass. And you know, but, you know, I think that, you know, the quarterback thing is one thing, but if you look at their running backs, yeah, we lost Barkley, but we got Tyrone Tracy, who is a utility running back. And did you hear the story about Dante Miller? Have you heard of him?
Dante Miller? No.
Yes.
Go on.
So he is from South Carolina. He was trying to go into the draft, but then he was also trying to potentially play another year. Well, P.S., he lost his eligibility.
Oh, and I then have they said seen he this guy. Yeah.
Yes, they call him Turbo. He is, like, he might be a steal. They signed him as a free agent. He could have been, like, a fifth, sixth rounder. That, you know, I'm not saying that he's, like, top, like Jonathan Brooks or one of these guys that just came out. But they may have upgraded their running back room. Then for safety, they got Tyler Newbin for McKinney. So McKinney went to the Packers. Newbin's a ball hawk. He had 13 interceptions at Minnesota. He is good. I mean, yeah, this guy can ball.
He's a rookie.
Ball up. Yeah, well, I get it. But
you're not playing against Purdue anymore.
Yeah. No,
we'll see.
Good point.
We'll see.
No, I get it. No, I get it. I'm not saying, listen, there's a thin line between 5 wins and 9 wins in the NFL. So,
you know, I like Deontay Banks, too, in his next year.
I love Deontay. Last year before the draft, I made a Facebook status that said, I want the Giants to get Hyatt, Banks, Schmidt, and Jordan Addison. We got 3 of them. And I'm pretty happy with them overall. I mean, yeah, Hyatt put his foot in his mouth with the whole play, you know, last week. I'm like, dude,
yeah,
come
just,
on, man.
Just chill. I know you're excited to be back in pads and helmets, and you're looking around at the talent and new faces on the team, but don't come out and say you have a playoff team. Joe, thanks for the call. 888-808-1019. As I look at the Giants roster, I think the strongest point or the strongest position group is their defensive line. Dexter Lawrence is arguably the best. Like, Aaron Donald retired. Dexter Lawrence is arguably the best three-tech nose tackle, defensive tackle in the league. And then when you put Brian Burns alongside of Kayvon Thibodeau, I mean, those guys could be extremely dominant. I like their linebacker room as well. Bobby Okereke and Micah McFadden last year played very well. Another year of them playing together. We'll see what Isaiah Simmons does. I think their defense can be better, but it is a defense now that is not run by Wink Martindale. There's adjustments that have to be made. There are learning curves. There are a lot of things in football that, like, they're going to need reps. They're going to need experience. And like I was saying, just look at the division. The Eagles, the Cowboys are going to be at the top of that division. I expect the Cowboys to take a step back. They have too many guys that are like riding on 1 year deals, the last dance. I don't expect the Dallas Cowboys to be good. Jerry Jones said he's going all in. Yeah, all in denial. They're all in denial in Big D. The Big D stands for big disaster waiting to happen. You watch and see whether it's in the playoffs or whether it's a, you know, random loss to the Cardinals or whoever. but they'll still beat the Giants. And then the Giants have leaned on being able to beat the Commanders for so many years. And now Dan Quinn is over there with a rookie quarterback. We'll see what he's like. But then they add Austin Eckler and Bobby Wagner and a bunch of other pieces. I got to go look up the Washington Commanders additions. I just think they're going to be more competitive. There's a culture change going on there in Washington. And you can't discount the players that they've put in there, the players that they've drafted, and different expectations coming with a new regime. All right, we still have to figure out if Brian Daboll is the coach of the year that we saw 2 years ago, or if that first year was an aberration. We're getting there. I don't know. It's not football time yet. We'll get there. Let's go to Jason in Sussex County. What's up, Jason?
Keith, my man. What's going on, brother?
Hanging out, watching the game. Now we're talking football. Even though I said we can wait on football, I want to talk baseball, but I like to talk all sports, so it's all good.
Listen, this isn't even about sports. I was just calling to give you some props, brother. You know what? You get up, you put your pants on, and you go to work. You banged up. I get that. I broke my neck about 15 years ago.
Oh, man.
You get up, you got to answer the bell, and you go to work. And listen, I love your show. I listen to probably The Fan as much as anybody because I'm constantly sitting in my car. And I got to tell you, listen, good for you, brother. Solid hang in there. You want to talk some kind of sports? I'm a Steelers fan. I got all day to talk sports for you. I'm just calling to give you props, brother.
Well, thanks. I think the Steelers are going to be sneaky good. I think Kenny Pickett from my high school, I was on this radio station campaigning for him from the time he got drafted, and I think Kenny got a little ahead of himself thinking that, you know, he was a little bit entitled and deserved that spot, and then they go out and get Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. There's some talent over there.
I'm excited about Fields. I really am. I want to see what he can do. Russell Wilson is what he is, but, you know, he's still from the same draft class as Roethlisberger and Eli. I mean, he's lost a step, yes.
No, he wasn't drafted when they were drafted.
He was drafted in
2011.
Yeah, he's almost as old.
He did a fifth year at Wisconsin. Those guys are older than him, but I get the joke.
All I can say is Fields was playing really well with Chicago. I think he fits that offense, and you know what? He was playing good ball, so we'll see. Pittsburgh's D, you can't worry about Pittsburgh's D.
Their defense is going to be very good. Keep those guys healthy. Watt, Porter, your guys up front. Man, thanks for the call, Jason, and thanks for, just a little pat on the back. Eli Manning was drafted in 2004. Russell Wilson was drafted in 2012. I'm like, nah, Russ is my age. I always like to tell my story about working out with Russell Wilson at UVA. I got to meet Russ at the UVA football camp in 2005. He was my year. I was like, nah, he's not that old. But he has been in the league for a long time. You know, the thing is, man, so many people listen to WFAN that have a lot harder jobs than us. You know, I read my thing about post-surgery. It said I wasn't supposed to drive for a couple days. The next day, I drove to work. I hear guys in the morning, in the midday, in the afternoon talking about showing up to work and if you're expected to be at work. And even though it's summer and everybody has days, you take your days. I've taken some days. And I told you guys when I was sick a couple weeks ago, I missed a show, and man, I try to fight it till 4 or 5 o'clock, and then I got to text David to be like, I can't do it. Because if you can't talk and you have a sore throat or whatever, then you're not going to have a good show. But I want to be here. This is a proving ground. Every opportunity that I get to be on this microphone and connect with you guys, it's important to me. And you know, just like Jason said, you're listening to my show, man, there's people that'll text me or tweet me or DM me and be like, you all right? Oh, man, I was looking forward to your show. I'm like, I'm good. So, you know, I talked to my doctor about it, and I don't work construction. I don't drive a truck. I'm not doing any heavy lifting. I'm sitting here on my computer watching the Mets game, taking calls and trying to, you know, strike up different conversations in the sports world. I'm blessed to have this job and this opportunity. And, you know, I don't care that they cut me open on Monday. I've been hobbled, been limping around. But I can do this job. And shout out to you if you're working your job overnight and you listen to my show to help you through your shift. I'm happy to be here for you. 888-808-1019. Let's see if we can sneak another call in on Daniel Jones before we get to the next break. Danny is in the Bronx. Danny, you're on the Fan.
Hey, what's up, Keith?
What's up, man?
What's going on, man? Listen, huge fan of you.
Thank you.
But I gotta say, Drew Lock over Danny Jones is outrageous.
Bro, you guys misinterpreted that. Daniel Jones should beat out Drew Lock all day, uh-huh, every day in practice. But
with
yeah, even with a bum knee and a bad neck and a bad ankle. But I predict Daniel Jones being hurt, and that's an easy prediction to make. So at some point in the season, maybe earlier than you would like, Drew Lock is going to get a start.
Yeah, I could see that kind of happening. But let's be realistic. If Danny's going out, it's because of the line. And if the line is doing that to Danny, I think it's going to do it to Drew.
I don't know. I'm not so. And I think this offensive line is going to be better this year. But there are numbers that tell you that Daniel Jones holds onto the ball. There are numbers that tell you that Daniel Jones is one of the like lower ranking quarterbacks as far as like, you know, like I got to go find them. They're somewhere in my notes. I'll go find them.
I got one word for you. It rhymes with Slayer.
Slayer. Player. Neighbor. Oh, Malik Neighbors. Oh yeah. Listen, I'm all on the Malik right Neighbors train too. Thanks for the call. Danny, I said, you got to get that kid the ball. Hand it to him. Jet sweep. Pitch it to him. Make him like a Deebo Samuels. Don't make it so Daniel Jones has to be accurate, has to read the defense, has to drop back, avoid the rush, and deliver the ball. You have a playmaker. You lose Saquon Barkley. You add an explosive guy like Neighbors. I know Devin Singletary's a decent running back and can make plays, but If Malik Neighbors doesn't get 15 touches as far as running the ball, handoffs, rushes, like find a creative way. You have an offensive-minded head coach that will find creative ways. The tunnel screen, get this kid the ball. He can take it to the house. They compare him to Jamar Chase. How many times you seen Jamar Chase take a slant or a tunnel screen to the house? Get him in open space. Good things will happen. But you got to protect Daniel Jones, and we got to see what version of Daniel Jones we're going to get this year. He's been in the league for some time. He's taken some hits. He's compromised, man. He's coming back from an ACL and a neck. It's going to be in his head. I'm telling you, injuries make a coward out of the best of us on the football field. If you're feeling something, you don't want to get hit. And you think the opponents don't know that? His opponents don't respect him, right? Remember last year me talking about all the stuff that the 49ers had to say about Daniel Jones? They couldn't wait to get after him. There are players in the NFL on defense that look at the contract that Daniel Jones has and they say he don't deserve that. There were players on his own team that felt like Saquon Barkley should have got paid before him. So with all that stacked against him, here we go again, DJ. Here we go again, Vanilla Vic. It's on you to rise to the occasion, and I'm rooting for you. But I just got to go off of what we have. I got to go off of what we've seen. It's more likely than not that this guy is hurt again, or that this guy is holding on to the ball too long, and that this guy is not the player that he was two seasons ago when he was able to go to the playoffs and win on the road in Minnesota. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the Fan, about 2 hours down. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back. And we're right back. KM to AM on the Fan. Unfortunately, during that commercial break, Jazz Chisholm went yard, added another solo shot. It is now 2-0 Marlins in Queens. If we want to see Edwin Diaz, I don't know. They got to score some runs. The make it happen Mets is bottom seven here, no outs. Brandon Nimmo at the plate. Got to score some runs. Or you already know how the calls are going to be later. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Let's take another call, maybe two, before we go to the update. Mark is in Rutherford, New Jersey. Mark, you're on the Fan.
going on, Keith? We actually share a last name, which is cool.
Mark McPherson, Keith McPherson.
It's actually McPherson. The family motto is "There's no fear in McPherson."
Oh, wow. My family has always been McPherson, but I don't know. I can't really say. I can't tell your family any different. It's always been McPherson with us.
All right, that's good. Well, I was going to talk about the Mets and make a joke about how they need to hire a female head coach. But since you were talking about Daniel Jones.
let me stop you. Do you spell your name McPherson?
Correct.
Okay. It's just a different pronunciation. I think there was an L. McPherson supermodel in like the 90s. And then you said that the Mets need to hire a female coach? You're losing me there.
Head coach, yeah. The times are changing.
They need to hire the first female manager in Major League Baseball?
MLB history. It's something like the whole organization is just plagued by this doom cloud, I would describe it as. The fan base is sunken into a pit of despair.
Well, they're rallying now while you're on the phone, Mark. Mark McPherson, the Met fan. J.D. Martinez, Nimmo gets on. J.D. Martinez just sends a double down the left field line. And now you got runners on second and third, no outs.
That's why I was going to be suggesting.
Yes. Thought you were
I want to talk about Daniel Jones just because, and I think this is going to be the last time I ever talk about it out loud, but going into his sixth year and still hearing all these Giants fans who are so relentlessly positive, right? And even when it's an overwhelming negative situation, you know, you'll hear it like, you know, the contract actually isn't that bad and we can get out of it. It's just a very bad way of doing business and making excuses for bad decisions. And
they defaulted into it, dude. You know it. I mean, no one thought that they were going to be a playoff team, win a playoff game. And you had to. They didn't pick up his rookie option. And that told you everything. They could have picked up his rookie option. Instead, they said, nope, let's see how he does. And they ended up paying him double what they would have ended up paying him. They defaulted into having to pay Daniel Jones.
Yeah, I think that obviously it was a good season, but he still is plagued with the same issues, right? So he can't get through progressions, which is like I watch a lot of the YouTube guys. There's a couple of really good channels that like analyze QB play. So like they love guys like Tua who are quick on release or something. All of those guys despise Jones in terms of like a pocket reader.
He's super frustrating. His pre-snap reads. Yeah. Remember the 49ers game? They were making fun of how his eyes looked. His eyes were all over the place. I tried to defend him. I'm like, he's getting a pre-snap read. He's trying to identify where the defenders are, where they're going to be for the play that is called. But I feel like there's too many times he doesn't know. I'll always remember Witherspoon coming off the edge for the Seahawks. And it's like the whole world is like, hey, that corner's coming. And he's the only one that didn't see him coming off the edge of the left side.
Yeah, no, that was inexcusable. The other thing I was going to say is that when I was watching these YouTube guys, these bloggers, these glorified bloggers, I was watching Eli highlights. And the way Eli would anticipate wide receivers getting open, and if not that, not forcing balls, but
put a ball in a spot where they're going to be. That's how you have to play quarterback in the NFL. The guys are too good.
Or giving him a chance to catch a contested ball.
Right.
Jones is just so gun-shy, and he holds on to the ball so long because he doesn't want to be taking these risks. I said before last year, if you put more on his plate, everyone thinks that the guy's going to eat it up. I think that he's going to be throwing up, basically, right? If you not everyone who gets more... you know, a more dynamic offense can handle it. Everyone just assumes that, oh, he's going to naturally progress. Like, if I wish my job gave me this much leash that I could be blundering into my sixth year and people are still like gung-ho about me making all this progress in something that I've been.
We got to go and get updated with Marco Belletti right now.